Let me make sure this flicker works. Okay. Good morning, Pacific Grace. Yeah, good to see you in the house of the Lord again. And it's great that we could worship the Lord together. And so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I greet you with the peace and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now please tell me, what conjures up in your mind when I say the next generation of the Vancouver Pacific Grace Church? What appears right here at this moment? What conjures up in your mind? Which congregation do you think of? As you know, there are three congregations here, right? Cantonese, English, and Mandarin. So what is the next generation? Who is the next generation? The Chinese-speaking or the English-speaking congregation like yourselves? Do you consider yourselves the next generation of the Vancouver Pacific Grace Church? Now, as for me, I'm always inclined to think of the Canadian-born or Canadian-raised Christians as the next generation of any Chinese church. Now many say the CBC or the CLC are the future of the Chinese church. But others would say, well, it's a misnomer. It's not so correct to call them the future of the Chinese church. Because the future of any church, Chinese or non-Chinese, doesn't depend on people, but on Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone of his church. We are living stones, as the Apostle Peter calls us, being built up on a spiritual house by the master builder, Jesus himself. Now, in any case, the Chinese church has been involved in nurturing the next generation for decades. For instance, I began to join the Chinese or the Canadian-born Chinese ministry in the Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church long ago when I was a university student at the University of Alberta. Now, the English ministry, as it's commonly called or known, is usually started out of necessity. When immigrant parents realized that, oh, wow, my Johnny, my Jenny, my Mary, my James, I need a church education in English. And for example, Sunday school, youth fellowship, etc., etc. And so the parents quickly assemble a team of volunteers to meet their children's needs. Now let me ask you, if you've been in the church, in this church long enough, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay? So who was your Sunday school teacher? I believe you still remember, Auntie Jenny. Who's your youth group leader? Oh, Uncle James. They are immigrants, aren't they? So, yeah, you know, the parents just assemble this kind of team to help their children. Now, this modus operandi becomes the norm of doing the English ministry. The church is always playing catch up when it comes to nurturing the next generation. Because there's often a lack of clear direction, often a lack of long-term plan. And because the English ministry is always under the immigrant leadership, the church unintentionally makes the English congregation a second-class citizen. Now, I hope it's not the case here in your church. Now, however, in recent years, there's a sense of urgency in training up, nurturing the next generation. The high schoolers, the college students, the young career people, and the young married couples. Now, this is at least true in the Chinese MB Church family. The MB Chinese Churches Association, the MBCCA, has launched a ministry called YAM, YAM, a Young Adult Ministry, right? For the sole purpose of nurturing the next generation of Chinese churches, the young people in the Chinese MB family. Now, you may have attended some of the YAM activities, like worship nights, like trainings on a Saturday afternoon or morning. Now, there's a number of reasons why this urgency. Well, I believe that the following two reasons rank near the top. First, the current church leadership of the Chinese church, I'm talking about the Chinese church, is mainly made up of immigrants, and the immigrant leaders are gradually aging. That's the fact, right? It's time to bring in some new blood. It's time to pass the baton, so to speak. Now, by the way, I personally would like to see not only Canadian-born or Canadian-raised deacons in the church, in any church, but also I would like to see Canadian-born and Canadian-raised pastors leading the Chinese church. That would be fantastic. That would be, you know, my vision, and I hope that, you know, God will bless my vision. Now, the second reason for the urgency is, in my opinion, critical, and it is the constant departure of young people from the English congregation in any Chinese church. Now, such situation is commonly known as the hemorrhaging faith. The church leadership wants to stop it and wants to at least slow it down so that the young people won't leave in droves. They are concerned about the future of the church and want to retain as many young people as possible. Now, there is a large amount of material out there, available online and in print, telling us how to nurture the next generation. Now, however, not as many are written specifically for Chinese or for Asian churches. Now, anyway, what are the key elements in this kind of nurturing, in this kind of training? Now, the psalmist, Asaph, gives us some insights in Psalm 78. Now, Asaph was a Levite. He was one of the three chief musicians of King David. He was, like King David, a gifted poet, a gifted songwriter, a gifted singer. Now, besides being a worship leader, Asaph was a prophet also. All of his psalms have to do with God's judgment of the Israelites and of their enemies. And so, you know, from this psalm, Psalm 78, what advice can we get from Asaph as far as nurturing the next generation of leaders or believers is concerned? Now, the advice is good, not only for those who are doing the nurturing, but good for those who are receiving it as well. Now, first, nurturing always begins with God. Now, verse 4 says, "Tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." God must be the center of any form of nurturing, any form of training, any form of equipping. The content must be pointing us to God and leading us to God. God is the ultimate, unchanging reality of our nurturing. That's why the future of the Chinese church is not the next generation. The future of the Chinese church is God himself, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the Alpha. God is the Omega. He is the first and the last. All training, all nurturing begins with him and is built on him and is shaped by him. Now, leadership succession, passing the baton, is secondary in this case. You know, God must come first. He is central, retaining young people in the church for the continuation of the Chinese church is secondary. God must come first. When the young people have understanding and a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, in every aspect of their lives, when young people understand that God is the one I worship, God is the one I follow, God is the one I serve, when we help the young people understand that, the young people have that sense of supremacy of God in them, then there is hope for leadership succession. Then there is hope for the continuation of any Chinese church, and in fact, non-Chinese church. Now, after all, it's not our church. It's God's church. God will certainly do what is right and what is good for his church. After all, he loved his church so much so that he died for his church. And just not too long ago, we celebrated the resurrection. He rose from the dead for his church, which is made up of you here in Vancouver and all across Canada and around the world. And so, nurturing must be all about God. And second, nurturing must be rooted in God's truth. Verse 5 says, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children. The Hebrew word for law here is Torah, which is a Hebrew word, which means to instruct, to teach. Now, God has testified and God has taught for generations. And we have that testimony and the teaching in the Holy Scripture, in the Bible, that we study every day, that we use in every meeting. The Bible is the way God reveals himself to us with clarity and with authority. If God is more important than anything, then the Bible is more important than anything but God. Therefore, nurturing the next generation is not just about transmitting head knowledge or skill sets of running meetings, teaching children Sunday school, supervising Awana, being a youth group leader, or even leading worship up here on stage. Nurturing is not just about that. Nurturing the next generation is about grounding young people, the next generation, in the Bible, so that they be like a house built on the solid rock of God's truth. No secular worldviews, no ethical issues like doctor-assisted suicide, no moral issues like LGBTQ can sway young people's faith in God if they have got this rooting, if they have got this grounding in God's truth. And so the Bible, God's testimony and teaching, must be known first and known better than all the other teaching material. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying skill sets, you know, knowledge of how to run meetings, how to supervise Awana kids. I'm not saying that they are not important. They are important, but they are secondary when it comes to knowing God's testimony, when it comes to knowing God's teaching in the Bible. And the third element about nurturing the next generation means being able to reproduce. You know, verse 6 says, Asaph says, we teach that the next generation must know God's testimony and teaching the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. Now, Asaph says, the young people, in the case of the Vancouver Pacific Grace Church, that is most of you, should learn and know the testimony and teaching of God well, in fact, so well that you can pass it on to the generation that is to come after you. You learn not just for yourself. You learn in order to tell the generation that is to come. It's ongoing from generation to generation. The church here started about, 1978, right? And today is 2018, 30 years ago. And we thank God that when the ancestors of Vancouver Pacific Grace, you know, they were faithful in passing on this kind of teaching of the Word of God from generation to generation. And now it is your turn to reproduce, your turn to pass it on to the generation that is coming after you. The Apostle Paul says this to his protege, Timothy. Paul says to Timothy, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now let us read this verse again carefully. And then we'll discover four generations of believers. You, meaning Timothy, and me, meaning Paul. Paul is the first generation. Timothy is the second generation. And then faithful men, the third generation, and others, the fourth generation. And so, that means what? That means nurturing is more than teaching, it's more than equipping. Nurturing is about the ability to reproduce, to keep it going from generation to generation. So, being nurtured, being equipped, is not just for our own consumption. It's really for the next generation as well. Now, for example, I need to point out this one thing. Somebody, for example, Pastor Xavier or Pastor Bill here, you know, they may be willing to teach, but they cannot make you learn. You know, they may be able to teach well, but they cannot make you know. What do I mean by that? Well, knowing is a precious personal thing. The kind of knowing God has in mind here in verse 6 is more than mere memory of Bible verses like the kids do in Awana. It's more than just that. You know, knowing is a precious personal thing. And knowing is more than just knowing some raw material. Some raw mental awareness of the existence of God or the teaching of God. Someone once said this, knowing is seeing into the real beauty of truth and embracing it for the treasure that it is. You live it out when you know it well. You live it out, you practice it. So when you know God's truth, you know God's purpose for your life. And that purpose, I'm sure, will not be only for your personal gain, will not be only for your personal enrichment. I'm sure it's also for the well-being of your fellow Christians, of your brothers and sisters here at the Vancouver Pacific Grace Church. God wants to use you, each of you, to build up his church here. Your church is part of the larger church of God in the world. Now, one more thing I want to point out about nurturing the next generation is to help the next generation, help the young people put their trust in God. Now, verse 7 says that they should set their hope in God. Now, this is the English Standard Version, but the NIV version is, they should put their confidence or they should put their trust in God. The goal of nurturing is to deepen and broaden the learner's relationship, the learner's trust in Jesus Christ, in God. All true learning, all true knowledge about God reveals that we are dependent on God. Or if we don't do that, we'll perish. And, the Apostle Paul once said this. He said, "In God we live and move and have our being." A learning and knowing God's truth leads us to discover God's purpose for our life. Because He knows and holds our future, we can put our trust in God. And the psalmist says, right? I think it's King David says, "Apart from God, we have no good thing." And Jesus Christ himself says, apart from him, we can do nothing. And so it's important that we must have a broadened relationship with God as we go on here on earth. Now, whatever happens, we can rest assured that God is in control and God has our best interest at heart. And when we find our hope in God, when we put our trust in God, then the second part of verse 7 says, "Then we will not forget the works of God, but we will keep his commandments as we journey on." Now, Asaph's advice is fundamental to nurturing the next generation. Nurturing the next generation is first and foremost about God, about knowing God's truth, about developing a personal relationship with God, and helping others to know God. These are the four key elements. And when the church does all this, God will take care of leadership succession. God will take care of the continued existence of his church. Because our God is alive. And he is alive forevermore. I want to make one observation about the relationship between immigrant and the next generations. Now, immigrant church leaders tend not to hand over leadership easily to the Canadian-born or the Canadian-raised Christians. One reason is that they often say, the young people don't think like us. They don't think like us. They are tosang, right? They don't think like us. And, to this, I would say, that's okay. That is A-okay if our young people don't think like us. Young ideas, new ideas, different perspectives actually enrich our body life, actually enhance our ministry, actually add color to our Christian living. Now, another reason why immigrant church leaders tend not to hand over leadership easily is that the leaders don't have confidence in young people. They are concerned that they lack experience and that they'll make a mess of whatever they do. But I want to say, let's be fair and square. Now, everyone has to start sometime, somewhere, right? And when we are not given opportunities, none of us can gain any experience and improve. It's okay to let the next generation lead and fail if that should be the case. I still remember when I started off as a Christian leader and when I started off as a pastor, I made mistakes left, right, and center. But here I am today, by the grace of God, I'm still serving him. I'm still serving his church. I'm still serving the national MB church, the provincial MB church. Who am I? Paul M is nobody. But God is somebody. Somebody greater than I. Somebody greater than all of us. So it's okay to let young people lead. And if they should fail, it's all right. It's all right. And I just want to say too, who in our midst has not made a mess? I remember the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter is the first disciple of the 12, right? Jesus once called him Satan when Peter tried to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. Later, Jesus correctly predicted that Peter would deny him three times before the cock crowed, right? But despite all these failures, Jesus still commissioned Peter to lead again by feeding and tending his sheep. The rest, as they say, is history, right? At Pentecost, Peter preached and 3,000 people responded to the gospel message. And 3,000 people joined the Jerusalem church. And on that very day, on the day of the Pentecost, the Jerusalem church, the New Testament church, was born. Now let's look at another example. John Mark. John Mark was a young man who traveled with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. But he left the team, the work halfway because he was young probably and he couldn't really endure the hardship. It was not easy to be a missionary. On the second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to bring Mark again, but Paul vehemently objected it. Paul didn't want to let him join again. And because of that, Paul and Barnabas, they had this heated argument, and in the end, Paul and Barnabas went separate ways. Now let's fast forward many years later. Paul wrote in his letter to Timothy, the second letter to his student, Paul wrote this: "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." Mark is very useful to me in ministry. Wow! What a high recommendation from someone who once refused to work with Mark. Now, it's generally believed that Barnabas's nurturing of Mark is a major factor in Mark's transformation, in Mark's spiritual formation. By the way, as probably you all know, John Mark is the author of the Gospel according to Mark. What a change, what a difference. The grace of God toward failed leaders is everywhere in Scripture. It's easy to write people off because of early missteps or mistakes. But those who train up leaders have eyes to see past a new leader's flaws, weakness, or foibles. Now, one more thing I want to remind myself and those involved in nurturing next generation. We need to be humble. Jesus Christ teaches us. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. While it's likely that the next generation younger than us, they may not have a lot of experience as we have. We should remember that they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are our equals in Christ. When we see them do better than we in all aspects of Christian living, including ministry, we should rejoice with them and give thanks to God for them. And remember, we are a part of that great plan of God, and it spans generations. For this church here, Vancouver Pacific Grace, it's been over 30 years. And so through God's grace and our guidance, the next generation may witness God and do more than we could ever imagine. Now, as I close, I want to talk to the millennials in our midst. I want to talk to the I generation in our midst. You are facing a world that is becoming more confused about how to live, about how to love one another, about how to live as a Christian. You are facing a world that is getting more complex, getting more skeptical, calling everything into question, including the very existence of God. You know, just 2 days ago, my wife and I were, you know, having dim sum with a couple. You know, they were really questioning the existence of God. They were questioning the validity of the authenticity of the Bible. And you are facing a world where Christians themselves will tend to be preoccupied with reactionary responses to controversial issues rather than to spreading the good news, to spreading the gospel. You know, probably this is Satan's tactic. He created all these kind of confusion just to prevent Christians from spending time on the real thing, that is to be witnesses for Christ, to be spreading the good news. You know, when we are so busy, you know, dealing with all these controversies, we don't have time to spread the good news. Probably, this is what I think, probably this is the enemy's tactic. And so, in view of these potential challenges, the millennials, the I generation, need to have a firm foundation in Scripture, need to have a solid relationship with Jesus Christ, and need to have deeper trust in Jesus Christ. Now, it sounds cliche, right? You hear preachers say this all the time. But it's true, and there's no other way around it, about it. Now, this is what Jesus Christ says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He says this. And maybe we'll read it together, all right? Two verses. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Now, my brothers and sisters, young and old, I pray that your spiritual formation in Christ will help you discern God's will, God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life, so that you can lead your life here on earth in Vancouver or wherever God may lead you. You can lead your life with a purpose, with a clear purpose, doing what is right in the sight of God, so that you can always be a true witness for Jesus Christ wherever you may be. And I hope that you will be a living stone, as Peter calls you, contributing to God's building project of the Chinese church, including the Vancouver Pacific Grace Church. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, one, set up a consistent, regular devotion that allows for meaningful scripture, reading, and praying. The emphasis is on meaningful, not a rush job, all right? Not like, oh, okay, I get up, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, wow, I have to be out of the house by 7:30, and so I just do 5 minutes of rush devotion. Not like that. A meaningful scripture, reading, and praying. And I encourage you to meditate on the Word of God and keep a journal of your thoughts. God is alive, and His Word is active and living. He speaks to you every day. If you really want to seek Him, if you really want to learn about Him, if you really want to follow Him, He will speak to you. When He does speak to you, write it down. And you'll be surprised, a year later, 5 years later, how you have become a more mature Christian if you have been true to God's teaching. And I want to encourage you, ask someone to be your personal coach or mentor. If the corporate world does it, why should we not do it, right? We should really have a personal coach, a personal mentor, somebody in whom we can confide, to whom we can be accountable. And then lastly but not least, join a peer support group where you can share, pray, and hold each other accountable. So Vancouver Pacific Grace, as I share with you the topic of nurturing the next generation, I hope that it's not just the English brothers and sisters, but the whole church can hear this. You know, God wants us to know Him. God wants us to know His truth. God wants us to develop a firm understanding of our relationship with Him. And God wants us to proclaim Him wherever we may be. And, you know, as I walked in today, I saw in your bulletin this very, very good quote, Food for Thought. And it says, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Wow. Think about the consequence. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. And that is part of the reason why the hemorrhaging faith. So let us work together. You and Pastor Xavier, Pastor Bill, and the entire Deacon Board, work together to build up one another, to build up God's church here at the Vancouver Pacific Grace. Amen. And let us pray. Our dear God, we give thanks to you for your love that is so abundantly, so manifestly expressed in Christ Jesus our Lord. O Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for us. And just about a week or two ago, we celebrated your resurrection. And you are the risen Lord. You are the living Savior. You are the one who has built and has been building the church. And Holy Spirit, we give thanks to you because of your work. Now we are convicted of our sins. Now we are converted to Christ. And now we are part of this great family of God and part of this great family here at the Vancouver Pacific Grace. And we pray that as we journey together, you will continue to lead us and guide us so that we can continue to shine for you, to be true witnesses for you in this part of Vancouver and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.